cannot undertake a history of the modern Jew without taking note of a phenomenon which has confounded Gentile societies for 20-odd centuries now. And that is the ability of the Jewish people to collectively retain their identity despite centuries of exposure to Christian civilization. To any student of Judaism or to the Jews themselves, this phenomenon is partly explained by the fact that Judaism is neither mainly a religion nor mainly a racial matter, and nor yet is it simply a matter of nationality. Rather, it is all three. It's kind of their holy trinity, as it were. Judaism is best described as a nationality built on the twin pillars of race and religion. All this is closely related to another aspect of Judaism, namely the persecution myth. Since first appearing in history, we find that Jews propagating the idea that they are an abused and persecuted people, and this idea is, and always has been, central in their thinking process. The myth of persecution is the adhesive and the cement of Judaism. Without it, you see, Jews would have long since ceased to exist, their racial religious nationality notwithstanding. It is a fact that Jewish people have suffered numerous hardships in the course of their history, but this is true of other peoples as well. The chief difference is that the Jews have kept score. We repeat, they have kept score. They have made a tradition of persecution. The casual slaughter of thousands of Christians is remembered by no one in 50 years. But a disability visited upon a few Jews is preserved forever in Jewish history, and they tell their woes not only to themselves, but to a sympathetic world as well. Good evening. And welcome to a special edition of tonight's Life, Liberty, and All That Jazz, live on this 6th day of January, 2011, right here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm your host and commentator for the hour, Jeffrey Bennett. I hope you stay with us as we revisit a subject I visited many, many years ago, and it's one that continues to intrigue me, and it's a story that few people have ever heard. As I ask you this simple question: who brought the slaves to America? We're going to attempt to answer that over the course of this hour, and who knows, it may spill over to tomorrow evening as well. Stay with us. We'll be back.
The Berkeelite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeelite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeelite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeelite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
This is an important message from HempUSA.org. For our listeners who are advancing in age, baby boomers, and to all who want to be healthy, we urge you to try our microplant powder and see the difference it makes in your life. Please visit HempUSA.org and read about microplant powder. It's easy to take, one heaping tablespoon in any liquid three times a day. Call 908-691-2608 or visit HempUSA.org. Please inform your family, friends, and relatives about this incredible product. It can change your life if you give it a chance. So try microplant powder today. Call 908-691-2608. In this toxic world, microplant powder can help now in cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, viruses, fungus, and bacteria. Please download our catalog at hempusa.org today.
Don't answer it.
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at Zero Debt in 90 Days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Or call now for free information. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
In 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue. That's the way we heard the story in our youth. But the story of slaves in America begins with Christopher Columbus. His voyage to America was not financed by Queen Isabella, but by Luis de Sant'Angelo, who advanced the sum of 17,000 ducats, about 5,000 pounds today. He's the one who financed the voyage, which began in August of 1492. Columbus was accompanied by five Muranos, Jews who had forsworn their religion and supposedly had become Catholics. Luis de Torres, interpreter. Marco, the surgeon. Bemal, the physician. Alonso de la Calle and Gabriel Sanchez. Oh yes, I have references for all of this. Now, Gabriel Sanchez, abetted by the other four Jews, sold Columbus on the idea of capturing 500 Indians and selling them as slaves in Seville, Spain, which was done. Columbus did not receive any of the money from the sale of the slaves, but he became the victim of a conspiracy fostered by Bemal, the ship's doctor. He, Columbus, suffered injustice and imprisonment as his reward. Betrayed by the five Muranos. Now, Muranos is loosely interpreted, means baptized Jews. And he'd been betrayed by these five Muranos, those who he had trusted and helped. Now that, ironically, was the beginning of slavery in the Americas. This from a book entitled Adventures of an African Slaver, written by Malcolm Cowley in 1928. The Jews, as they had been so many times before, had been expelled from Spain on August the 2nd, 1492, the day before Columbus's journey began. They'd also been expelled once again in Portugal in 1497. Many of these Jews emigrated to Holland, where they set up the Dutch West Indies Company to exploit the New World. 1654, the first Jew, Jacob Bar Simpson, emigrated from Holland to New Amsterdam. That's in New York. And in the next decade, many more followed him, settling along the East Coast, principally in New Amsterdam and Newport, Rhode Island. They were prevented by ordinances issued by Governor Peter Stuyvesant from engaging in the domestic economy. So they quickly discovered that the territory inhabited by the Indians would be a fertile field. there were no laws preventing the Jews from trading with the Indians. Now, the first Jew to begin trading with the Indians was one named Haman Levy, or Levy, who imported cheap glass beads and textiles and earrings and armbands and other cheap adornments from Holland, which were traded for valuable fur pelts. Levy was soon joined by Jews Nicholas Lowe and Joseph Simon. Lowe conceived the idea of trading rum and whiskey to the Indians and set up a distillery in Newport where these two liquors were produced, and within a short term, there were 22 distilleries in Newport, Rhode Island, all of them owned by Jews, manufacturing and distributing firewater. The story of the debauching of the Indians with its resultant massacres of the early settlers is a dramatic story into itself. But it is essential to comprehend the seaport of Newport. It is important in order to recognize the Jewish share in the slave commerce. There was a period when it was commonly referred to as the Jewish Newport World Center of Slave Commerce. Altogether, at this time, there were in North America six Jewish communities: Newport, Charleston, New York, Philadelphia, Richmond, and Savannah. There were also many other Jews scattered over the entire East Coast, and although New York held first place in the settlers of Jews in North America, Newport held second place. New York was also the main source of kosher meat, supplying the North American settlements, then the West Indies, and also South America. Now Newport took over. Newport also became the great trade harbor of the East Coast of North America. There, vessels from other ports met to exchange commodities. Newport, as previously mentioned, represented the foremost place in the commerce of rum and whiskey and liquor dealings. And to conclude it, it finally became the main center of slave dealings, slave trading. It was from this port that the ships left on their way across the ocean to gather their black human cargo and then derive great sums of money in exchange for them. Now, a somewhat authentic contemporary report based on authority indicated that of the 128 slave ships, for instance, unloaded in Charleston, within 1 year, their cargo, 120 of those ships were undersigned by Jews from Newport and Charleston by their own name. As for the other eight, one can only surmise that although they were entered as Boston and Norfolk and Baltimore, their real owners were similarly the Jewish slave dealers from Newport and Charleston. One seems to be able to assess the Jewish share in the entire dealings of the Newport if one considers the undertaking of a single lone Jew, the Portuguese Aaron Lopez, who plays an important part in the overall story of Jews and slavery. Now, you might find this story quite offensive. The subject of slavery is certainly one that is quite offensive. In fact, it was so offensive that as the newly installed representatives in the House of Representatives today were reading the United States Constitution, they very quickly decided to overlook certain parts of the Constitution. They chose not to read the section that talks about, you know, three-fifths of a human being. Glenn Beck was right. I happened to be flipping through and stopped for just a moment, and he said, why would they omit reading that section of the Constitution? Why wouldn't they want to read it and have people ask why? Well, it goes back to the fact that slavery in all times, in all forms, is an abomination. There are different forms of slavery, of course, you understand. There are those who were bound in chains and they were whipped and, in some cases, treated poorly. of course, we have another form of slavery today, the one where we continue to send our hard-earned shekels to feed and clothe and give health care and everything else to those who don't deserve it. But we're getting away from our story. When one begins to concern the entire commerce of the colonies and the later state of Rhode Island, which included Newport, bills of lading, concessions, receipts, port clearances, they all carried the signature name of the Jew Aaron Lopez. Oh, you didn't think there were Jews with Hispanic last names, did you? Au contraire, my friend, you would be grossly misinformed. All of these things took place during the years of 1726 to 1774. Lopez had therefore more than 50% of all dealings under his personal control for nearly a half a century. Aside from that, there were other ships which he owned but sailed under other names. And now comes the part that is going to shock many of you. In the year 1749, the first Masonic Lodge was established. 90% of the members of that first lodge, 14 of them, were Jews. No one knows that only so-called prominent individuals were accepted. 20 years later, the second Masonic Lodge, the King David Lodge, was established. It is a fact that all of those members were Jews. But in the meantime, the Jewish influence in Newport had reached such proportions that President George Washington decided to pay them a visit. And upon his appearance, both of the Masonic lodges sent an emissary, a Jew named Moses Seixas, to approach the president with a petition in which the Jews of Newport stated, "If you will permit the children of Abraham to approach you with a request, to tell you that we honor you and feel an alliance." And then went on to say, "Until the present time, the valuable rights of a free citizen have been withheld. However, now we see a new government coming into being based on the majesty of the people, a government not sanctioning any bigotry nor persecution of the Jew, rather to concede the freedom of thought, which each shares, whatever nation or language, is part of the great government machine."
Stay with us. I think I'm hearing little bits and pieces of music.
You need to crank that up for me today, brother. Stay with us. We'll be back and continue our story.
A bitter path that comes with a happy tune is your step. Life can be so divine. Right up the sun is...
Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees, just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232.
Do you need help getting your child to behave? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'm willing to give away thousands of my best-selling total transformation programs for free. All you do is tell us how the program works for you and your family. Did it turn around your child's behavior? Did the screaming and arguing stop in your home? Is he doing better in school? The total transformation has helped hundreds of thousands of families. I want to see what it can do for you, and I'm willing to let you have it for free. Just order my program, use it with your child, then send me your feedback. I'll refund the purchase price of the program. You keep the Total Transformation Program forever, for free. You don't have to struggle with your child's bad behavior one more day, because now you can try my Total Transformation. and the program will be free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
During the break, I received a email from my doctor who states that true Jews don't even know their history. Migrated to Ireland, Scotland, and Germany, the Jews of today come from Mongolia by migration. Because they lived in Judea as the Texans live in Texas, they became the Jews of Judea with none or very little blood relation. God hates race mixing, and the Jews have certainly done all of that. And we've covered this story before at length, and we'll continue to cover it. We're sharing information with you tonight, and probably it'll spin over tomorrow evening, attempting to answer the question or go over the history aspect of who, in fact, brought the slaves to America. Now, it is necessary at this point to consider the disclosures as to who, in reality, obtained all this legendary freedom in America at the founding of the Union. Oh, to be sure, the province became independent and severed from the English jurisdiction. However, we can see from the petition which Moses Sextus offered President Washington in the name of the Jews of Newport, that it was not in reality this type of freedom which they had in mind. They were merely concerned about themselves and their own civil rights, which had been withheld. And therefore, following the Revolutionary War, the Jews were accorded equal rights and freed of all restrictions. And the Negroes? The Revolutionary War notwithstanding, they remained slaves. And in the year 1750, 1/6 of the population in New York was Negroid. And proportionally, in the southern parts of the country, they outnumbered the others, but the proclamation of freedom did not touch them. Let us scrutinize at somewhat close range the dismal handiwork of the Jews, which gave them influence and power, so that we may comprehend the slave trade. But there's been so much written since that time by the zealous Jewish writers that at the present, long since removed, it might appear natural for the time element has a tendency to make things somewhat nebulous. We'll take a journey, as it were, for the rest of this hour. The journey of a single ship, a ship owned by slave dealer Aaron Lopez, which made many trips to the African coast. In May of 1752, the ship Abigail was equipped with about 9,000 gallons of rum, a great supply of iron foot and hand restraints, pistols, powder, sabers or swords, and a lot of worthless tin ornaments, under the command of the Jewish captain Friedman, sailed for Africa. There were but two mates and 6 sailors compromising the crew. 3.5 months later, they landed on the African coast. Meantime, they had been constructed in African agency. There had been constructed an African agency by the Jewish slave dealers who had corralled them and prepared them for sale. Now, this organization, reaching deep into Africa, had many ramifications, including the heads of groups and villages, etc. This method to win over these leaders for the Jewish slave trade was similar to that which the Jews had employed with the Indians. Now, at first, they presented them with rum, soon found themselves in an alcoholic delirium. And when the gold dust and the ivory supply was exhausted, they were induced to sell their descendants. You see, at first they liked the rum. Give them a couple of free samples. You know how that goes. It's like getting a lap dance in a strip joint, I guess. And, you know, once you get enough of them, then the hooker side comes out and says, look, for X number of bucks, we can get out of here after I get off work tonight and we can do more. So that's what they did. Gave them some free hoo-head, John. And then they had to start paying for it. And they had to pay for it with gold dust and ivory. And when all that stuff ran out, they had to sell their daughters and their sons. They sold the wives and they sold the youths. And then they began warfare amongst each other, plotted and developed mostly by the Jews, of course. And if they captured prisoners, these too were exchanged for rum and ammunition and weapons to the Jews, using them for further campaigns to capture even more Negroes. The captured blacks were linked two by two and driven through the medieval forest to the coast. These painful treks required weeks, and some of them frequently became ill and were felled by exhaustion. Many were unable to rise, even though the bullwhip was applied as an encourager. They were left to die. They were devoured by wild beasts. It was not unusual to see the bones of the dead laying in the tropical sun, a sad and gruesome reminder to those who would later on tread this path. It's been calculated that for each Negro who withstood the rigors of this wandering, there still had to be the long voyage across the ocean before they reached American soil. 9 out of 10 died. And when one considers that there was a yearly exodus of 1 million black slaves, then and only then can one assess the tremendous and extensive exodus of the African people. Stay with us. We're going to continue this story. History, and I won't say at its finest, but certainly at its most accurate.
Because you can handle the truth.
Don't answer it.
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at Zero Debt in 90 Days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Or call now for free information. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Here is what one satisfied customer had to say about Heart and Body Extract regarding his angina pain.
I haven't had an angina pain since I've been on it. The Heart Body Extract is just so great. I thank God that I was led to this product that's doing so much for me and that can do so much for other people.
Call to order your 2 month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
Every time it rains, a pen is from heaven. Don't you know each cloud contains a pen is from heaven? You'll find your fortune falling all over town.
We are back. Fortune's falling. That's something the slave traders had no intention of allowing to happen. Africa became thinly populated. Not alone due to the 1 million literally dragged out of their huts, but due to the 5 to 9 million who never reached their destination. Once they reached the coast, the black slaves were driven together. Restraints were applied to hold them until the next transport ship docked. The agents, many of them Jews, who represented the chief, then began the deal with the captain. Each Negro was personally presented to him, but the captains had learned to become suspicious. The black one had to be able to move his fingers and arms and legs and the entire body to ensure that there were no fractures. Even the teeth were examined. If a tooth was lacking, it lowered their value. It lowered the price. Most of the Jew agents knew how to treat sick Negroes with chemicals in order to sell them as sound. Each Negro was valued at about 100 gallons of rum, 100 pounds of gunpowder, or in cash between $18 to $20. The notations of a captain inform us that on September the 5th, 1763, one Negro brought as much as 200 gallons of rum due to the bidding among the agents, raising the price. Women under 25, pregnant or not, resulted in the same measure. If they were well and comely, any women over 25 years of age lost 25% in value. And here it should be stated that those Negroes purchased free at the African coast for $20 to $40 were then resold by the same slave traders in America for $2,000. You see, this gives one an idea how the Jews managed to acquire tremendous fortunes. Following the bargaining, Captain Friedman paid the bill, either in merchandise or cash. He also recalled some advice which his Jewish employers gave him as he left Newport for Africa. And they told him, "Pour as much of the rum as you possibly can." In this matter, the Negro chiefs were cheated twice by the Newport Jews. Now, the next step was to shave the hair from the head of the acquired slaves. And then they were bound and branded with a hot iron, either on the back or the hip, identifying them with their owners. And now the Negro slave was indeed the property of the Jewish purchaser. If he fled, he could be identified. And these people are whining about tattoos? Following this procedure, there was a farewell celebration. There were instances when entire families were brought out of the interior to the coast and then separated through the byre, the father going with one ship, the sons and daughters into another. These farewell celebrations were usually packed with emotion and tears and drama and sadness. And yet there was little joy, if ever. Can you say Kunta Kinte? The following day, the transport began from land to ship. It was managed by taking 4 to 6 Negroes at a time in rowboats to the ship. Of course, the slave dealers were aware of how the Negro loved his homeland above all else and could only be induced by great force to leave it. And so some of the Negroes would leap into the water. But here the overseers were prepared with sharp dogs and retrieved the fleeing men. Other Negroes preferred drowning. What came aboard alive was immediately undressed. Here was another opportunity to jump overboard and reach land and freedom. But the slave dealers were pitiless and ruthless. They were merely concerned to get their black cargo to America with the least loss. And therefore, an escapee recaptured had both of his legs cut off before the eyes of the remaining Negroes in order to restore order. And on board the ship, the Negroes were separated into 3 groups. The men were placed in one part of the ship, the women into another, whereby the lusty captain arranged it so that the youngest, most comely Negro women were accessible to him. The children remained on deck, covered with a cloth in bad weather. And in this fashion, the slave ship proceeded on its journey to America. In the main, the ships were too small and not at all suitable to transport people. They were barely equipped to transport animals, which the Negroes were likened to. In one space, 1 meter high, that's 39 inches, these unfortunate creatures were placed into a horizontal position, pressed close together. Mostly were chained together. And in that position, they had to remain for 3 months until the end of the voyage. Rarely was there a captain who sympathized with them or evidenced any feelings whatsoever for these pitiable creatures. Occasionally they'd be taken in groups to the deck for fresh air, shackled in irons, of course. Occasionally they'd be... Somehow those Negroes were expendable. They endured much. And on occasion, one of them became insane, killing the other one pressed closely to him. They also had their fingernails closely cut so they could not tear at each other's flesh. The most horrible battles came about among the men, just to acquire a centimeter or two for a comfortable position. It was then that the slave overseer stepped in with his bullwhip. And the unimaginable, the horrible human excrement in which those slaves had to endure those trips is impossible to describe, but not impossible to imagine. Now, in the women's quarters, the same conditions prevailed. Women gave birth to children lying pressed closely together. The younger Negro women were constantly raped by the captain and the crew, resulting thereby a new type of mulatto as they came to America. Oh, it began back then. In Virginia or in any of the other southern port cities, the slaves were transferred to the land and immediately sold. A regular auction would take place, following the method of purchase in Africa. The highest bidder obtained the ware, as it were. In many cases, due to the indescribable filth, some of the blacks became ill during the sea voyage from Africa to America. They became unemployable, if that's the proper term. But in such cases, the captain accepted any price. It was rare to dispose of them, for no one wanted to purchase a sick Negro. Therefore, it's not surprising that the Jewish unethical doctor senses a new form of revenue. They purchased the sick Negro for a small sum, treated him, sold him for a large sum. and on occasion the captain would be left with a few Negroes for whom he did not find a buyer. In that case, he returned to Newport and sold them to the Jews for cheap domestic help. So you see, even the Jews would screw the Jews. But in other cases, the Jew owner of the ships took them over. And that is why the city of Newport and its surroundings had, in 1756, 4,697 black slaves. But slavery wasn't an issue in the North, was it? Well, that's what we were told some years later, 100 years later. Well, you get out a map of the United States and you take a real good hard look and you tell me where Rhode Island is. It ain't sandwiched between Georgia and Florida, I'm telling you. And yet, slavery in itself did not extend to the North. In many of the North American colonies, slavery was strictly forbidden. Georgia came under discussion, likewise also Philadelphia. And yet, again, it was the Jews who managed a loophole, which had given them freedom following the Revolutionary War. So they schemed to make slave trading legal. One had but to read the names of those persons living in Philadelphia who were requesting the elimination of existing laws regarding the slave dealing. They were the Jews Sandiford and Lay and Woolman and Solomon and Benetzet. That explained it all. But let us turn back to the slave ship Abigail for a moment. Its captain, and I shared this with you from his ship's books. The Abigail and this captain did a very profitable business. The captain sold all of his Negroes in Virginia, invested some of the money in tobacco and rice and sugar and cotton, and went on to Newport where he deposited his wares. We learn from Captain Friedman's books that the Abigail was a small ship and could only accommodate 56 people. He managed, however, to clear from one trip $6,621, which he in turn delivered to the owner of the ship, one Aaron Lopez. You see, my friends, the staggering amounts of money acquired. You don't think of $6,621 being a lot of money. It was back then. It was a fortune. The staggering amounts of money acquired by the Jew ship owners and the slavery dealers is better illustrated when we emphasize the many years in which this sale and purchase of human flesh was practiced. Prior to 1661, all of the colonies had laws that prohibited slavery. It was during that year that the Jews had become powerful enough to bring about the repeal of those laws, and slavery began in earnest. The Jews had discovered that the colonists needed additional manpower to help them clear their fields for planting, helping in the construction of dwellings, and in general to help with the harvesting of those crops. Oh, that was particularly true of the southern states, which we not only have referred to earlier in this program, but it's certainly something that is well known, historically speaking. You see, the southerners had vast tracts of rich soil suitable for rice and cotton and tobacco and cane sugar. You never heard much about cotton or tobacco being grown up around New York anywhere, did you? So at first, the impoverished Europeans were recruited. English prison doors were opened. Finally, prisoners of war from England and Holland were brought to the colonies, made to work until they had paid the cost of transporting them by ship, and then they were set free. You see, it doesn't take a Jew long to discover that what his brothers are doing. And so a group of Jews settled in Charleston, South Carolina, where they set up distilleries for making rum and whiskey. They too learned that they could trade with the natives on the west coast of Africa for ivory, and several ships were purchased and sent to Africa, trading the usual glass beads and other cheap ornaments for ivory, which, however, took up but little space on board ship. And it occurred to these Jew traders that they could supply the plantations in the south with black ivory, needed under swampy and malarial conditions which European labor could not tolerate without sickness, and which would not only fill the holds of their ships but bring enormous profits. This same group had earlier tried selling Indians as slaves, but they found them completely unsatisfactory, as the Indians just wouldn't tolerate that type of work. And thus another segment of the slave trading had become active and profitable out of Charleston, South Carolina. Several shiploads of black slaves were sent by the Dutch West Indies Company to the island of Manhattan. Now, during this time, there were a number of plantation owners established in the West Indies, and two Jews, Iyer and Sauer, with strong Rothschild connections in Spain, I might add, formed an agency called Asiento, A-S-I-E-N-T-O, which later operated in Holland and England. It was through those connections that Jews in Holland and England exerted influence, and both of those connections cooperated in helping the Jews provide black slaves for the colonists. With the early capture and transport of 1 million black slaves, it is not difficult to figure that between 1661 and 1774, that's 113 years, approximately 110 million slaves had been removed from their native land. About 10%, or 11 million of them, reached the colonies alive. Think about that. 110 million slaves had been removed from Africa, and only about 10% ever made it alive. We've spoken earlier about this small ship, Abigail, which could accommodate but 56 people, and yet the profits per trip were enormous, with little or no investment. Oh, there were many other ships, but we'll concentrate here on maybe just a few. The La Fortuna, the Hannah, the Sally, the Venue, which also made very great profits. The La Fortuna, by the way, transported approximately 217 slaves on every trip. The owner cleared not less than $41,438 from just such a trip. Those were dollars which the slave dealers could keep. And those were dollars of value which would buy a great deal in return. You see, when one considers that the Jews of Newport owned about 300 slave-transporting ships active without interruption, docking at Newport to Africa or Charleston or Virginia, one can approximate the tremendous earnings which made their way to Jewish ship owners. Oh, indeed, the Jews admit that of the 600 ships leaving Newport Harbor into all the world, at least half of them went to Africa. And we know what those ships going to Africa were seeking. The fact that Aaron Lopez, well, we'll pick up on that when we come back. We're going for our final break for the hour. I hope you're finding this educational. Stay with me. I love him.
Yes, I love him. So I'm gonna walk.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
The Grainmaker Grain Mill. Handmade goodness since 1999. Handcrafted stainless steel and high-quality alloys. There has not been a finer grain mill made right here in the great state of Montana. Hand-operated, the grain mill does it all. Wheat, corn, peanut butter, rye, rice, coffee, beans, flaxseed, all grain types. Make your own gluten-free flour. Experience the satisfaction of providing wholesome, nutritious foods for your family without additives or preservatives. Each mill is handcrafted with manufacturer's lifetime warranty. To order your grain mill, call us at 1-800-724-2719 or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Take a look at why this grain mill will be passed down through generations.
Estrogen dominance, a brand new 20th century disease, a phrase coined by Dr. John R. Lee 35 years ago. Dr. Lee proved that all the estrogen that is coming from food and water is having a devastating effect on our health. The rapid rise in breast cancer, uterine cancer, prostate cancer, weight gain, osteoporosis, feminizing of our boys and early puberty of our girls, and also the destruction of natural killer cell function. Natural killer cells are our only protection from cancer and viral infection. Dr. Lee found that using natural progesterone, about 20 milligrams per day, would not only reverse osteoporosis, but would greatly reduce the cancer issues, as well as dozens of other health challenges we face today. Visit our website, healthlinkamerica.com, to order the DVD on hormone imbalance. Learn how hormone imbalance destroys the immune system and get started on natural progesterone and Cyto-S. It will not only change your life, it may in fact save your life. Once again, that website is healthlinkamerica.com.
Welcome back to our final moments of this evening's broadcast. I know there are those of you who tune in for market data and updates and reports, etc. And upon occasion, we just flat going to avoid them because there's other things that I feel that are worth sharing with the audience. We must understand our history in order to have a better understanding, a distinct understanding of how we've reached the point that we've reached in this nation today. We are attempting between this evening and tomorrow evening to share with you the accurate history of who in fact owned the slave ships, who in fact brought the slaves to America, who benefited financially and otherwise. The fact that the Jew Aaron Lopez had control of over more than half of the combined deals in the colonies of Rhode Island alone with Newport is well known. There was a rabbi, Morris Gutstein, who some years ago wrote a book called The Story of the Jews in Newport. And he attempted to remove all of these facts, maintaining that there was no evidence that the Jews were connected with the slave trade. It's therefore imperative to prove that the Jew was indeed connected with the slave trade, especially so since this rabbi insists that they had made great contributions and how very blessed their residents became for the city of Newport. Oh, surely Morris Gutstein will grant us permission to present the facts which he was unable to find. And so tomorrow night we will open by turning to some reports directly out of the Chamber of Commerce of the Rhode Island Colony in the year 1764. And we're going to talk about some of the merchants who chose to make Newport their base of operations. The story gets more intriguing, my friends. It's not to slam anybody. There are times in this life that I need to return to this mentality of being a history teacher. Oh no, I was never educated for that purpose. I never went to school and got a degree for teaching history, but having been a student and a lover of history my entire life, or at least since the fifth grade, I've never stopped reading, I've never stopped studying, I've never stopped searching for truth. Something that each of you, I challenge you to do on a daily basis, whether it deals with the type of issue we're discussing tonight, whether it's dealing with religiosity, with humanities, whether it's financial related issues or health related issues, it matters not what the issue. Just to take that time in your life and search for truth and share it with others. I hope to be back tomorrow night to share part two with you of this story. Till the good Lord sees fit to bring us together again without apology, I am Jeffrey Bennett. Got the lips that suit my taste, and your fingertips, they cannot be replaced. Oh, baby, what you got, nobody has, and I got you.
The next round of the world.